Brian Thomas Jr., I looked at Sam in a lot of ways and went, man, I feel like I'm watching an A.J. Brownish type of guy. It's not an extensive route tree, a lot like A.J. Brown at Ole Miss and all that. You don't get to see it all. But, man, I just really like the physical tools I thought that he brought to the table. You know, I think what he does after the catch is kind of special that way, let alone, like, hey, I'm big on, like, let's first start it out where let's just line you up here and let's see if you can get open against people all day long. And that, to me, is where he shines.
Chris Sims on Brian Thomas Jr. Biblical rain overnight and this morning.
It was this morning. It was like,
yeah.
I don't know. You said yesterday that it was like that overnight.
Overnight,
and I slept through it.
So yesterday, I had standing water flooded in my yard, and that's before today's rain and tomorrow's rain and Sunday's rain.
Do you know what's supposed to happen tonight?
Snow.
Inch of snow.
No way.
Inch of snow. I saw this.
In the mountains in Southtown.
I've
got a low of 38.
I saw a tweet.
A low of 38 here.
I saw a tweet somewhere. National Weather Service. Back me up here.
What do they know? Is it the same service that told you to go to Dunkirk for the eclipse?
I don't want to bring that up.
No, I'm sorry. That might have been Pat Hammer. I don't want to take a shot at him.
There are no snow icons on the weather app.
I'm telling you, I'm seeing only rain. Somewhere. Where is it? Twitter these days, you can't like scroll back and like find, you know, like what you have just seen. Because, oh no, here it is. Snowfall potential. There will be the potential for some snowfall. This is for the highest locals may see a few inches of wet snow across the southern tier. But when you're looking at Buffalo, yeah, like there's a chance. You're probably not going to wake up to it. It probably would happen overnight and it'd be melted by the time you wake up. So we're good.
All right.
Good. No need to alarm everyone.
Good, good. 803-0550. Less than 2 weeks from the draft. Lots of draft chatter all the time. That's how it goes.
2 weeks from day two of the draft.
2 weeks from, like, us reacting to round one.
Yes.
Which,
it's either going to be a celebration or is going to be the tensest day in a long time being, you know, covering the Bills.
Yep.
It'll be tense. If they've not picked a wide receiver by Friday morning, it's going to be, I don't even know. It's going to be, you better get, well, no, I know what it's going to be. It's going to be, you better get one tonight. You have to get one tonight. Jalen Polk or Troy Franklin or Xavier Leggett, if he's still around. Like, you trade up into the second round to go get him, but you don't have a third round pick to do that, so that's tougher. So, yeah, I don't want to wake up Friday morning having to deal with all that.
Yeah. I want to, sometimes like with the trade-up chatter, I want to not quite challenge conventional thinking, but I do want to occasionally push back on the universal suggestion that more picks is always better. And we flirted with this a little bit. Like, would you trade your first for all of the sixth rounders?
Never. Right.
No. Because there's diminishing returns on how many picks you get. And for me, the Bears are a great case study in this. The Bears have four picks, but if you do the math on how much each pick is worth based on the draft chart, they have the fourth most draft capital.
Yeah.
If it's true that more picks are better, when will the draft value chart actually reflect that? When will that happen? Because the Bills have 10 picks, and they have far less capital than the Bears, who have four. So the draft value chart, no one would dispute, well, the first pick is worth more than the 30th pick. Okay.
Right.
And the ninth pick is worth more than the 60th pick. So I've got it where we all kind of accept that the draft value chart lays out picks can be worth more than other picks. And yet, that chart doesn't reflect, oh, trading down is always just the best.
Right. By the trade value chart, you would need to get the equivalent of the Bills' 28th overall pick in the first round, you would need to trade 660 seventh-round picks.
Should they do that? That math, of course, is ridiculous.
Right.
How many fifths, right?
Like, right.
Should they trade their first-round pick for seven fifths?
I mean, for fifth-round picks.
Would you do it right now for seven fifths? I know what you're thinking. Hey, Matt Milano was a fifth-round pick. That's right. So are a lot of guys that you never, ever, you forgot, you even forgot about them.
Right. It's like 60 fifth-round picks. that you would need to equivalent the first for the Bills.
And then,
yeah,
you know, you also have to get to a point about, well, what about Christian Benford? He was a sixth. Okay, that's a nice pick, Christian Benford. Is he so good you can't find Christian Benford in a system, in a Sean McDermott system? I'm not trying to take him away.
I hate doing that too, though, anyway. Like, what about Diggs in the fifth? What about Benford in the fifth? What about Luke Tenuta in the sixth? What about Nick Broker in the seventh? What about Rashad Wildgoose in the sixth? Right. You never hear the names mentioned of the 19 fifth and sixth round picks out of 20 that don't become players because we don't know who they are.
Yeah.
The only ones you know who they are Diggs. Name a fifth round pick. Go. You're only going to name guys that hit.
Puka Nacua.
Right. Exactly. Kyle Williams you might get to. Like, you're only going to name the anomalies. You're never going to name the, as I continue to look back into their past, Voshon Joseph. There are 20 of those guys. Maybe not 20, but there's a lot of those guys for every hit that there is. And I'm mostly in agreement. I do understand the logic of the first round trade up being the thing that is very often heard as, like, you do not, PFF's big on this, other sites too, like, you do not do that unless it's for a quarterback. You just don't do it. It's not smart, at least, unless it's for a quarterback. So, like, I hear that, but if there is ever a circumstance where it would be warranted, I think there are only a couple of positions you could get to on that, and I do think receiver is one of them. Eric Eager wrote a piece earlier in the week that was very good about breaking down when teams that are thought of as Super Bowl contenders or high in the odds move up into round one for those premium non-quarterback positions. It often goes well for those teams.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask this question multiple ways. I asked it maybe earlier this week or last week. If the Bills trade up to 9 to take Odunze, we will have fans that are upset and nervous about it being too much, and that will be a fair concern. There's no doubt about it. Like, it's reasonable to be concerned about that. If the Chiefs do it, will anyone say, well, I mean, geez, wow, they're really in trouble having given up an additional first? Would anyone say that?
Does it matter if you've won before or not already?
Don't even make it that. If it's, who do I want to include here? Because we worry about, like, three teams. The Chiefs, the Bengals, and the Texans, I guess, are now in that mix.
The Ravens.
I guess. No one really seems to worry about the Ravens. The Chiefs is the only one that I think consistently you can reference. And I don't think it's because they've won, Joe. It's because they have the one quarterback that Bills fans, even the most hardcore Josh Allen fans, would admit that he's at least on Allen's level.
Right.
If Lamar got Rome Odunze, you'd say, like, not worried about it. I don't think Lamar's that good of a quarterback. At least a lot of people that write to us would. Or if that were the Jaguars, I don't trust Trevor Lawrence. He's not as good as Josh. Mahomes is the only one that I think Bills fans would absolutely universally say, like, well, of course he's as good as Josh Allen. If he gets the stud receiver, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Look at how they win without one, finger quotes. They've won without one. Are they about to get an even better version of themselves? And one last point on this. Like, the Chiefs did just win with defense. Somebody out there is yelling, they just won with defense. They did. And then they let L'Jarius Sneed go.
Mm-hmm.
They did the same thing with Sneed that they did with Tyreek Hill, which is, we can't afford to pay you this. We'll take some draft capital, and we'll spend it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Like, they re-signed Chris Jones, but L'Jarius Sneed's gone.
Right.
So, win with defense. Oh, you did? And then you got rid of what? The second best player on your defense? Immediately.
Right. What would our reaction be if Miami moved up?
What would I'll tell you what
people,
the reaction
is. People tend to make fun of the Dolphins.
I'll tell you what. Right. People don't take the Dolphins seriously. Why? Tua.
Yeah.
That's it. The teams we take seriously, I think generally it's the Chiefs, the Bengals, and I think the Texans are about to enter that conversation if they haven't already. And that might be the full list that I would say most Bills fans, not fear, but look at them like, okay, you might be in this club.
Yeah. So the list of teams we'd be terrified of going up and getting a receiver, like, that everyone would agree on. Like, is it? It's only those three?
I don't think it's Kansas City. I think it's only Kansas City. The Bengals only have those receivers until Higgins leaves. And The Texans
have
those receivers.
Yeah, the Texans. I saw a ranking the other day of like the top receiver trios in the league, and the Texans are like the only team in the league right now that have like three studs. Go ahead, name another team right now that's got three stud receivers.
Seattle would have been in the conversation.
Seattle, actually, that's good. Seattle, I think, was up there.
But that might not last them out that much longer. There's speculation about DK Metcalf getting moved.
Oh.
Yeah, his name comes up. Anyway.
Should we have that name come up?
It's an expensive name, but you could just draft.
How expensive is he?
$22 million. You could just draft one instead.
Yeah.
Anyway, 803-0550. Jeff in North Carolina on a Friday. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks, Jeff.
I want to talk to you about the draft. You hear all these stories. Well, we have picked 28. We're going to move up. We're going to move down. Honestly, my thought is I'm not sure, but I just can't help but think, knowing Bean's past history, he's got something up his sleeve come draft day, and he's either going to do something or perhaps trade for an established player. I want to just get your thoughts on that, guys.
Thanks, Jeff. I mean, it's funny. Yesterday I saw that, maybe Benjamin Solak. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills traded up, and then it might have been Jordan Reed. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills traded down. It was Derek Kramer that tweeted this. You know Derek, here on WGR, producer, Sports Talk Saturday. And he wrote, no one knows what Bean's going to do, which I think is true. But the other side of that is, if anybody says I wouldn't be surprised if they trade up or I wouldn't be surprised if they trade down, that's because we expect Bean to move because he always moves. Right?
He always moves up, though.
Usually he moves up in the first.
In the first, he doesn't move down. At least he hasn't yet.
We posted the Twitter poll the other day. What do you think about the Bills? Do you think they will pick at 28?
Right.
Or somewhere else.
And wasn't it like over 8? I forgot. Was it like over 75 or 80% that said yes?
It was way higher than that.
It was higher than that?
People just flat out do not expect the Bills to stay where they are. Bills fans. And that's the national media. That's the draft media. Wouldn't be surprised if they moved up 2 spots. I mean, 20 spots might be bold. But wouldn't be surprised if they move up 2 spots or move down 2 spots. The final results poll, Joe, 90% expect the Bills to pick somewhere other than 28.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does he have something up his sleeve? It's possible. They trade Diggs, and they finally make the move to trade Diggs. Do they have something lined up with the Bears? Do they have something ready for San Francisco? Is there an Ayuk trade that hinges on who's available at 28? Is it the Bears at 9? Is it the Falcons at 8? It's possible.
He would have some deals if he wanted to go to 9. He's got something ready to go, right? He's got a framework ready with maybe he's got to go to the middle first before he gets to 9, and he's got a framework figured out with Seattle to move up to 16 before he goes from 16 to 9, or maybe he could just trade with the Bears straight up. I don't know, but those frameworks are probably already. Like there.
Yeah.
Get to draft night now and like, okay, let's see how it goes. And then we'll figure out if we're actually going to do this.
These 2 weeks and the weeks before, right, are laying the groundwork for, let's say the Bills, if they really do want to move up for, we'll make it Brian Thomas Jr., who we heard Chris Sims talk about coming in. You're calling the teams at 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and not talking about who it is, but saying,
right,
hey, as your board lays out, do you have anybody around 28? Is there something that could work for both of us?
Right. Yep.
And you lay that groundwork.
And maybe the Bears are bringing in Xavier Worthy because they're doing groundwork of, hey, if we do trade down that far, let's see, bring this guy in.
Well, when the Bills traded down for EJ and the Rams came up and got Tavon Austin.
Yeah.
That trade hinged on, by the way, can you believe this? That Tavon Austin made it to 8.
Uh-huh.
It's like, hey, we got a deal in principle. And if that guy makes it there, we pull the trigger. And he did, and then there you go.
He must have been really good in college, Tavon Austin. He's like 5'8".
He was explosive.
What were teams trading up into the top 10 to get a 5'8 receiver? Imagine doing that, even like today. I mean, I guess I'd be excited about any receiver that you would trade up to go get. But that's crazy.
Paul in Buffalo next up. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Hey, guys. I'm catching up through the Odyssey app, and I loved your conversation about toughness to start the show. I'm in total agreement with you about Owen Power. I mean, folks, if you're asking Owen Power to be tough right now at this point in his career, you're not seeing the forest for the trees. look at him. He's a kid still, and he's a tall and skinny kid. Asking a tall and skinny kid to even box out at this point or push around a stocky man is silly. He is not yet a complete player. And I got news for you folks. Next year, he's probably not going to be physical either. 2 years from now, Owen Power is going to start being dominant. I would say make a run on his rookie card because you can get a PSA 10 for about $40 right now. Good investment, in my opinion. The guy I think you're missing the boat on is Jordan Greenway. Last night, I watched Jordan Greenway stand with Tom Wilson, which tells me what I already knew. Jordan Greenway could be a dominant power forward in this league if he had the right mentality. He's never thrown more than 155 hits in a season. That's not enough for someone of his dominant physical stature. Once every 10 games, we see it. He throws his body every shift, and that creates room for him and his line mates, and then he'll usually get an assist or a goal in those one every 10 games. I need so much more from him. I don't think you guys would agree with this, but I would trade Jordan Greenway for Matt Rempe in a New York minute, but I think the Rangers would laugh at me.
I mean, Jordan Greenway is not a, you know, I don't need to be that overt about it. I don't want Matt Rempe. Is Greenway not hit because of the mentality, or is Green? Let me throw this theory out there. Is Greenway not hit because he's not a very good skater and he can't keep up with guys? He can't get to the target quick enough to hit the guy. Like, why is Matthew Tkachuk the best hitter in the league? Because, one, yes, he's willing to hit. Two, he is quick and fast enough to where he's getting to you. You see Greenway coming down the tracks. That's not the fastest train in the world you can get out of the way of.
I think Greenway is fine in the role
but
he's got.
But dominant, power forward, or whatever. I don't know. If we wanted to, in terms of the physicality, okay, maybe. But, like, come on. We know what Jordan Greenway is. He's going to score 10 goals, if we're lucky.
803-0550. Thanks, Paul. We'll see what the offseason brings for them. Jeremy and Joe. We'll talk to Paul on the other side as well. Paul Hamilton going to join us. A recap of Sabres Fan Appreciation Night. We had our final hot dog of the year.
Oh, what was it? I didn't even see.
It was the U-Dog, U-Turn Dog, something like that. It was a Washington, D.C.-based dog.
Okay.
But the year of the hot dog.
The year of the hot dog.
It was the
Are they going to bring it back?
I'm going to do something different. What should we do? Burgers.
Themed burgers?
Themed burgers.
The U-Street Dog.
Yeah.
It was topped with D.C. style. Like, it was topped DC style with spiced chili, diced onions, and mustard.
Okay.
All right.
Themed burgers. No? Who says no? You could do a lot. I've seen peanut butter on a burger. Peanut butter and jelly burgers. Yeah. Fried egg burgers. Like, a burger might be better to hold more potential themed items.
Mm-hmm. Nachos, too.
Yeah.
What about
just a big box of nachos?
What about a sandwich of the night? Different sandwiches and subs, if you will.
Ooh. Going in the suggestion box at Buffalo Sabres, one Buffalo Sabres drive.
Didn't they used to have one of those?
As you say, they pull it out.
Am I making that up?
Guys, we got a suggestion here. It says Cobb salad of the night.
Oh, yeah, let's go. Now we're talking.
We're going to show
get
a movie at intermission.
Come on. Let's get some greens in the arena.
Let's get Cobb salads in the seats.
Yeah. Now we're talking. You probably could do that in the club section.
Oh, yeah,
Have them bring it over to you.
If there's one thing clubs people like, it's Cobb salads.
Yes.
And he's Cobb Salad Joe over there. I'm Jeremy. Josh is here. We'll take more of your calls. We'll get to Paul as well, Paul Hamilton. And our next mock draft, we're going to do the Let's Get Stupid mock draft, dial up the randomness on PFF.com all the way. It's going to be like Brian Thomas Jr. goes first. So who knows? Who knows what they do with the randomness? We'll find out coming up on WGR.
Back comes Connor Clifton, 3-on-2 on the entry on this side. Quinn walks it in, holds it, drags it through, scores! The Bobby Quinn!
One of the moments of the game. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth Jewelers. Moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. Jeremy and Joe and Mr. Paul Hamilton comes along to chat with us about last night's Sabres game and, you know, closing out the season. They still got a couple games left. Paul, good morning.
How are you?
Decent game last night, right? I mean, a good way to send off the fans. Fan appreciation, of course. You got some goals, and you got some fights at the end of it. A spirited tilt. I'm wondering how Washington fans feel about that, right? Like, you got you got beat by the Sabres, which is a bad loss if you're trying to get into the playoffs. And then they came in and you watched Tage throw punches at Max Pacioretty. I mean, what's Washington feeling today, Paul? Like, they're cooked?
Yeah, they didn't show up. I mean, Ovechkin, the whole team, they were no-shows. And I'm thinking, wow. You guys are 1 point out of the playoffs and you're no-shows? And they have been at the end of the year here. I think they've only won one game out of the six or seven, whatever it is. And, it's crazy. I told you before, I fully expected the Sabres would show up, and they did last year, and, after they were eliminated. So the first period wasn't great, but they got through it. Lukanen had made some saves, and really, actually, the Sabres got lucky, I thought, in the first period because the Capitals had some golden opportunities and the puck wasn't bouncing their way. I mean, Strome, I think, three different times had looked like wide-open chances, and then next thing you know, he fans on the shot or the puck bounces or some goofy thing happens, and, Lukanen made some saves, and then Buffalo got the goal. They got a guy to the net. Their smallest guy that they have is one of their best net front guys, and he gets knocked down. He doesn't care. He just gets back up again and tipped the puck in, gave him the lead, and then in the second period, Washington was awful. They had four shots. I think they had one scoring opportunity, and the Sabres got another goal. Another good play by Tuck to set up McMichael to screen the goaltender, and he scores on that, and they're off and running. Considering where the Capitals are and the kind of race they're in, if you're a Capitals fan, you got to be pretty upset about that game.
Yeah. That also, back on the fight for a moment, Paul, like the end of the game sequence. I know you asked him or talked to Darlene about this yesterday, that I think everyone's kind of thinking he's going to be the next captain. And I don't know, Paul, I think a lot of Sabre fans would probably want their captain. Hey, your best player gets hit into the wall as the game's over, and there's Dahlin skating in from neutral ice to just throw Oshie to the ground. I'm sure that, like, that's, it's one of the things that Sabre fans are going to want from any of their leaders.
Oh, but wait. When I tweeted that out, that Dahlin said that he's ready to become captain of the team if he's asked, I was told on that wonderful thing called X or Twitter or whatever that Dahlin's not tough enough to be the captain. Really? I didn't know that was a prerequisite, that you had to be tough. So I just laugh sometimes at the garbage that gets thrown my way. It's like, really? He's not tough. First of all, he's willing to stick a nose in there. I mean, this myth that runs through this town of toughness, and you have to be fighting all the time, and you have to do this and that, and the only way you win Stanley Cups is if you hit. It doesn't matter if you score goals. It doesn't matter if you have talent. If you got 20 guys that'll hit, you're Stanley Cup champions. But yeah, that was another fresh take that I saw, that he's not tough enough.
Well, when I hear you talk about toughness often, Paul, like, this is, like, we went through this earlier. Like, when you look at their top guys, even, like, there's Tage throwing bombs, and he's done that before, and talking, all of them, right? Darlene, really, all their core pieces up top, maybe other than power. I think you would consider, like, physically, I would think they're fine toughness. But what I've heard you talk about is really the bigger concern is more about the mental toughness than it is the physical toughness.
It's the mental toughness, and it's being hard to play against. That's what they need to improve in. They need to find, some bottom six guys that are very difficult to play against. And it's not fighting. It's not hitting somebody through the glass. It's the other team, they know they're in a hockey game. When they show up, they're not thinking, oh, this is going to be easy. They know that they're going to be in a hockey game going up against some guys who are tough to play against. And that's the problem that they have. And that's what they have to improve on is that kind of toughness. And as you said, the mental toughness that they have. And, good job on, Tage did his job in that melee. But good job by Greenway. Tom Wilson, he gets psycho in that kind of stuff. He loses his mind. and he winds up suspended because he does stupid things, and he's a good fighter. I mean, you talk about, you know, people who love this Rempe idea and these Reeves idea and everything else. Wilson is like the gold standard. He's a hockey player. I mean, he's a feared fighter. He's a feared person on the ice, but he is a hockey player. You know, he has 18 goals. And that's, you know, if you don't need this goon garbage that seems to be creeping back into the league and these staged fights and the rest of it. You know, now Wilson, as I said, he can get a little goofy, and he winds up getting himself suspended a lot because he does get goofy. But Greenway got in there knowing what he was stepping into.
Yeah.
I mean, that he probably knows he's in for an unfun time. It's not even a word, but, you know, doing that. But he did. And he got Wilson out of there, and he wound up having to fight him, and he didn't get hurt. I mean, you know, you know it's going to be a rough one, but at least you went in there for your teammates and got him out of there, because you don't want him jumping Dahlin or anybody else that was on the ice.
He's also a free agent, by the way, Tom Wilson, at the end of the year, Paul. Maybe we'll chat about him at some point
during
the summer.
Last
night, listening to Dylan Cousins after the game, I don't know, like, maybe it's just his voice. I don't want to make any assumption by this. You tell me that he just kind of sounds dejected, talking about not wanting to play games, right? Like, once you're eliminated, and that's not saying much. Like, everyone would agree with that. But I've been thinking a lot about Cousins lately, Paul, because Tage has kind of turned it on here at the end of the season. That could just be health. The one guy that I just am always searching for what the answer of what the heck happened this year. I feel like Cousins is the one guy I'm still just not. I don't feel like I have a good answer about it.
Yeah, I mean, he is just completely frustrated. And as he said, you know, they've got the pride that they're going to show up for these games. They're hard to play. You know, once you get eliminated, you don't want to play, type of thing in his mind. And he's very dejected. He had his head down. It's like, we've let people down. He feels they've let each other down. They've let themselves down. They've let the city down. And he expected more. He expected more out of himself, and he expected more out of the team. And he's extremely dejected about it. And, you know, that's, you would hope that's going to fuel him in the off season to do better. I mean, I remember before the World Championship a couple of years ago, he went about 13, 14 games without a goal at the end of the year. But at least he was getting chances and, you know, was playing pretty well. And he was pretty upset about it. And his motivation at the World Championships, I got to get my scoring back. And he wound up being Team Canada's leading goal scorer, playing left wing. And I have not seen him play left wing since. You know, he's pretty dejected about it. And you would think that's going to fuel him in his training coming this summer.
Paul Hamilton, his appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Thank you, Paul.
Take care.
All right. Next up for the Sabres, a game in Florida and a game against Tampa to close out the season. I had something else I was going to mention to you, Joe, about the Sabres and hockey. What was it? It was the tip of my tongue.
Was it anything about the way the playoff matchups that we would currently have in the NHL?
No. I did see someone suggest the NHL go to 4 8-team divisions. And the division...
8 4-team divisions.
Sorry, says yes.
8 4-team divisions.
Which, it's kind of funny.
Let's say they're already in 4 8-team divisions,
right.
I think,
8-4 yeah, okay. Team divisions.
Yeah.
When you see that suggested, you think, that's ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
And then you realize that's what the NFL is. You only have to beat three teams to to be a division champ.
That's right.
You beat three teams.
All right, so who do you want to be in division with?
Well, do you know who the Sabres were in the division
give
with?
Get me out of Boston's division, please. I know, whatever, rivalry. It's not
really.
You
would
get me out of Boston's division.
The division was, the Sabres were in it, was suggested, Toronto.
Okay.
Montreal.
Okay.
Ottawa.
In.
Basically,
love it.
We're Canadian.
Fine. I'll be Canadian to be in that division. I'm good with that. They would have been second this year.
That's right.
Which probably still wouldn't be a playoff unless they have another wonky, weird playoff format. But yeah, I'll get me in with those teams. Get me out of Boston's division. For the first time ever. I had this like as a drought thing the other day that Boston's missed the playoffs seven times. Ever. Sabres have missed it 13 years in a row. Boston's missed it seven times since they've had like a real playoff format. Boston, by the way, right now would win the division, the Atlantic, the famous Atlantic division that Gary Bettman is very proud of. They're in first place, and I think they would actually play. No, they would play Tampa, not Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, though, is in a spot after winning last night, and so are the Islanders. So, Pittsburgh. Look, they were like where the Sabres were 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They've gone on a 10-game streak here without losing a game in regulation. 7-0-3. This is why I thought a couple weeks ago when the Sabres had those head-to-head games and they were still 6 points out, that it was live. I just never believed that all of these teams were going to get to 90 points. And maybe that will actually happen now, but it was there. Pittsburgh was where you were, and they went on a run, and they got in. But the Sabres didn't go on a run all season. One run, and they'd be in the playoffs. If they put one hot streak together all year, at any point, one 5- or 6-game win streak, they would have been in the playoffs.
803-0550. A mock draft with lots of randomness coming up at 8 o'clock. It'll be a wacky mock from PFF.com. Also an announcement. We've got a big announcement to make at 8 o'clock. Some fun news that you can take part in. Inching closer to the draft. Happy wet Friday. It is rain. And yes,
yeah.
I've confirmed a snow icon on the forecast.
Aha!
Yeah.
I knew it.
And I'm not happy about that. Aaron Minkowski tweeted at us, yes, there is a snow graphic for tonight. Wait, you just barging in to tell me, oh, by the way, it is every bit as bad as Joe says it is.
Yes.
I could have just been living blissfully unaware.
Anyway. What? Oh, you're so much happier with what's going on outside right now?
I would be
right
happier.
Now?
Yeah, what I'm saying is, what's worse? To know that snow is going to come on April 12th at night and think about it all day and then it comes, or to not think it's going to happen and then just get mad in the moment. I'd say it's better to get mad in the moment rather than dwelling on it all day.
Tiger is on the tee box right now at Augusta, but of course what everyone is watching for is any glimpse of Jason Day and his basketball uniform that he's going to be wearing today.
Honest question. This is round two today, but it's a continuation of round one. He should have to wear the clothes from yesterday and then change at the turn. That should be a rule on the tour. You should have to complete it in your baggy pants from yesterday.
Someone suggested to us that it could be you or Nate or whoever, that there should be a fashion judge that takes strokes off your score at when you show up. It's a fashion show element of when Day shows up yesterday in those pants, there's a panel of judges that all write down scores, and he has to start the day three strokes behind.
Yeah, that's a good. I like this a lot actually. Jason Day. Oh wow, look at that outfit, Jason. +6. Go ahead.
Yeah,
have a good time. Gary McCord got banned for the broadcast for life for talking about greens being bikini waxed. Nobody that's been banned from the broadcast has done more damage to the Masters than Jason Day's pants and Garcia's outfit from yesterday. They're both horrible.
Yeah, what? Wait, Sergio. That was Sergio with
He looked like the Masters logo.
Right. He did the Masters with the yellow pants.
Yeah. All right. Masters round 2/round 1 is getting underway soon. We're going to watch Tiger, who looked good yesterday. Really good. 803-0550 if you want to hang out on a Friday with us on WGR.
What's it going to take for a third Englishman to get it done this week?
Well, shouldn't ask me. I've got no chance, but I'll
ask the major champion, shall I?
Yeah.
Tyrrell Hatton, I've got no chance. His take on the Masters. Augusta.
I've got no chance, but then he'll break his putter in half when he misses a 10-foot putt.
He gets mad. Yeah.
He gets really mad on the course.
He's a mad guy. Drone footage of Augusta. Whew.
Where was that at? Social media?
Yeah, I saw some. I think more aerial views or higher view. I thought it was a drone. Anyway.
Oh, I saw the one that goes through the clubhouse.
Okay.
You're talking about one on the course?
Yeah. Morning golf. Look at these morning shadows. Can we, for a moment...
Tiger was staring right into the sun.
Can we talk about these fairways? Look at this grass. Wouldn't you want to sleep on it?
Yes.
They should...
Yes, of course I would.
Of course they shouldn't do this. They should have camping, where you don't even sleep in a tent.
Camping in Augusta.
You just lay in the fairway. Look at these fairways.
Yeah.
They're flawless. They don't even look like they have mow lines. It's just like... perfect carpet. Okay, we're seeing Jason Day's get up.
Look at this guy.
It could be worse. I'm saying it could be worse.
It could be worse. He's got like it a only could be worse. You would not be saying that if you hadn't seen it before.
You're right.
But everyone watching this for the seeing him for the first time is going, oh my lord, what is happening?
He's wearing a sweater vest. I'm here to defend vests. I'm on Team Vest and feel like we should be bringing those out more. It's got a lot of words on it in big letters.
The M on the letter M on his vest is like 2 feet long.
It's reminiscent of boxers putting like goldenpalace.com on their back. That's what Jason Day is doing today.
A little bit, yeah.
803-0550. All right, it's mock draft time and announcement time. When we return, we have an announcement about the draft, and we're going to do our latest mock with PFF.com. So stay tuned. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.